So we are going to start. The president of the parliament will arrive a bit late, but I think everyone already knows that. We are going to start. We have here a member of the parliament that decided to sit a bit also an ex-member of the parliament that is by his side. So there will be translation of Portuguese, so when Alexandre speaks, you can hear the translation, and the other speakers will speak in English. The president will speak in Portuguese. Okay, good afternoon. In the name of the Executive Board of the European Network of Parents of LGBTI plus persons, I want to express how honored and thankful we are that parents of trans people from diverse European countries have the opportunity to be heard in the Portuguese House of Democracy. This is an historical moment in the history of human rights. First of all, I thank His Excellency, the President of the Portuguese Parliament. Thank you very much for welcoming us and for your presence and personal participation in this event. We are also grateful to see members of Parliament. Thank you for your support. Our thanks go also to the European Commission and the Council of Europe for funding and for making this moment possible. Today is the culmination of the project Let's Change the Pace, How Are Trans and Gender Diverse Children Doing?, funded by the European Union Erasmus Plus program. Initially held by a consortium of parents of NGOs from Italy, Malta, Portugal, Serbia, and Spain, we broaden our scope of action by building synergies with other European countries and European parents' organizations from Bosnia and Herzegovina, the parents are here, Croatia, Denmark, Iceland, Turkey, Lithuania, Poland, United Kingdom, Ukraine. All together, and just aiming for a better present for our children, a present where their human rights are respected, we developed a common manifesto of parents, made by parents of trans and gender diverse children, that will be publicly present here for the first time. In 2020, the European Commission adopted the LGBTI plus European Strategy 2020-2025. With this first ever LGBTI equality strategy, the Commission addresses the inequalities and challenges affecting LGBTI people of any age in order to move towards a union of equality. It is not only a call for action to member states and the European Parliament, it also aims to enhance equality mainstreaming into European policies and legislations by lifting the voices of LGBTI people, activists, and families around Europe. So here we are. Our manifesto is in line with European strategy. Here are our concerns. Here are our voices being lifted with the support of the European Commission. Our manifesto is a call for urgent action from parents of trans and gender diverse children. It has been compiled with sadness. It has been compiled with hope. And most of all, it has been compiled with urgency. We know that parents are one of the most important drivers of change. Because when a child is in pain, the entire family suffers. When a child does not find support, the family crumbles. And when a child faces discriminations, their family is discriminated. So here we are. Let's first listen to a Portuguese mother from the organization Amplus. She's going to speak about a good example that was the result of this parliament discussions and voting. She will be followed by a mother from Lithuania, and finally from another mother that will present herself as she wishes. They will tell us how political and legal action are key to change the pace in making human rights a reality in their trans and gender diverse children's lives. They will also remind us with their personal stories to what extent the absence of legal and political support and action can make these children's lives miserable. Let's listen first from them and then to our manifesto. Thank you.
Muito boa tarde a todos. Meu nome é Alexandra Freire, eu estou aqui em representação da Amplus, Associação de Mães e Pais pela Liberdade, Orientação Sexual e Identidade de Género. Eu sou de Beja, nascida, criada e vivo em Beja, uma pequena cidade do interior do país, e a minha filha também. Eu sou mãe de uma jovem trans, de 17 anos, que fez o seu coming out aos 14, de uma forma muito tranquila. Ok, eu pensava que estava a falar devagar, peço desculpa. Sendo eu de uma cidade do interior do país, e conhecida, uma cidade de Beja, que é pequenina, em que toda a gente se conhece, e eu e o meu marido, por acaso, somos pessoas que até trabalhamos numa área em que temos alguma exposição, é óbvio que houve uma série de questões que de repente se levantaram. Mas o amor que nós temos pela nossa filha sobrepôs-se a tudo o resto. E pensámos, ok, vamos procurar ajuda. Procurámos um pedopsiquiatra aqui em Lisboa. Nós, em Beja, temos, embora tenhamos psiquiatras, mas eu penso que não temos ninguém no Serviço Nacional de Saúde que entenda destas questões, porque não pode ser, estas questões não podem ser tratadas, não podem ser tratadas como uma doença mental, ponto. Têm que ser tratadas de uma forma especial. E tive sorte, tive muita sorte. Tive muita sorte de encontrar um médico que se especializou na área e que eu consegui consulta assim quase de um dia para o outro. Começámos a vir às consultas a Lisboa e, a uma dada altura, numa das consultas, a minha filha recebe uma mensagem do WhatsApp. Ela tinha faltado às aulas, logicamente, nós para virmos cá, ela tem que faltar às aulas e eu ao trabalho. Se fosse em Beja era mais fácil. E ela recebe uma mensagem a dizer: o fulano tal, colega dela da escola, descobriu e espalhou pela escola inteira que ela é uma menina trans. Pânico total naquele momento. E eu olhei para o médico, estávamos em plena consulta, e eu digo: então e agora? E ele disse: agora se calhar está na altura de começar a falar com alguém. Eu vou no caminho para Beja, no carro, começo a trocar mensagens com a diretora de turma. Como a minha filha tinha faltado às aulas nesse dia e alguém disse que ela tinha vindo a uma consulta a Lisboa, a diretora de turma ficou super preocupada. E a reunião com a diretora de turma aconteceu nesse mesmo dia. Reunimos, eu expliquei, a senhora ficou surpresa porque, tal como eu, nunca tivemos indícios de nada. Na altura, não é? A minha filha, na altura, tinha um comportamento e tudo, era um rapaz normativo, seja lá o que isso queira dizer. E ela ficou admirada e disse-me: oh mãe, os diretores de turma gostam de falar connosco assim, eu gosto também. Oh mãe, e agora o que é que eu faço com essa informação? Eu não posso ficar com essa informação só para mim. Eu digo assim, então, se quiser, podemos, eu não me importo. Se a senhora quiser, promover uma segunda reunião com os restantes professores e eu posso estar presente, esclarecer alguma questão que eles não saibam, que eu percebo, eu também estou a aprender. Eu ainda estou a aprender passado 2 anos. Ainda estou a aprender, tenho aprendido tanto nestes últimos 2 dias. Eu reuni com os professores, isto passou-se numa sexta-feira, na segunda-feira, ao fim da tarde, eu estava a reunir com os professores da minha filha. E tive reações que eu não estava à espera. Eu, de repente, olho para o professor de matemática da minha filha, que é um rapaz com quase 2 metros, e que eu vejo a chorar como um menino. E eu fiquei, digo assim, mas porquê? E ele diz-me, porque ele conhece-me, cá está, toda a gente nos conhece. Ele diz-me assim, Alexandra, não leves a mal eu estar a chorar. Eu não estou a chorar, não é... Eu vou-te explicar, eu estou a chorar, estou emocionado pela coragem que a tua filha teve. E ainda por cima, porque é uma das minhas alunas mais brilhantes. Às vezes estava eu a chorar. Pronto. Saltamos esta etapa e eu tinha combinado com a Manuela, digo eu assim, e se houver mais questões que eu não saiba responder? A Manuela e a Alexandra Teixeira, que são 2 anjos da guarda que eu tenho, que é a presidente e a vice-presidente da Amplos, disseram, ok, se os professores quiserem, marcamos uma terceira reunião e nós podemos estar presentes online. Estamos a falar online, estamos a falar em plena pandemia, isto aconteceu há 2 anos. E assim foi. Nessa mesma semana estávamos a reunir, a Manuela presente, a esclarecer uma série de questões com os professores, que eles iam colocando essas questões, e eles perceberam, foram impecáveis. Eu estou muito orgulhosa da escola da minha filha, muito orgulhosa mesmo, e digo isto em todo o lado, e agora aqui na Casa da Democracia, então, digo mesmo, eu estou orgulhosa da escola da minha filha e dos professores da minha filha. E naquela tarde, a diretora de turma diz-me assim, então e agora como é que a Amanda, como é que nós a partir da manhã, a minha filha chama-se Amanda, pronto, acabei já por dizer o nome, e a partir da manhã como é que é? Digo eu assim, ela é que vai ter que decidir. Portanto, nós estávamos em casa e eu chamei-a. Digo assim, olha, chega lá aqui que os teus professores querem falar contigo. E a professora, a diretora de turma, diz assim, então e amanhã, como é que é? Nos quadradinhos das aulas online, como é que vai ser o nome? E ela disse, eu preferia e gostava já de ser tratada pelo nome que eu escolhi. E assim foi. E no outro dia de manhã a professora foi impecável, foi a primeira aula da manhã, portanto a Amanda, que é a minha filha, mudou logo o nome lá na plataforma e de manhã a diretora de turma disse assim, olhem, não estranhem quando olharem para o ecrã, se virem lá um nome que não é habitual vocês verem todos os dias aqui nas aulas, mas não é uma aluna nova, é a mesma pessoa só com outro nome. Estou a falar devagarinho, pediram-me para falar mais devagarinho, eu vou tentar resumir, pronto. Isto tudo para dizer o quê? Que desde a escola... Depois ao encaminhamento aqui que o pedopsiquiatra fez, do contacto com a nossa médica de família, o encaminhamento depois para endocrinologia, correu tudo que eu não podia ter pedido melhor. Apesar de sermos do interior do país, eu posso dizer que se calhar o caso da minha filha é um caso de sucesso e é um exemplo. É claro que ela tem altos e baixos como todos os adolescentes, mas isso é normal, ela é adolescente, não só a condição dela, mas ela é uma adolescente. E pronto, e eu estou aqui, e é assim, se hoje me perguntarem, eu identifico-me como cisgénero, heteronormativa, porquê? Não faço ideia. Não sei, eu sou. A minha filha é trans, porquê? Ela é ela. Ela é aquela pessoa e eu amo aquela pessoa de forma incondicional e estou cá para tudo e a Amplos, esta família maravilhosa que nós, entretanto, ganhámos, que eu costumo dizer às vezes na brincadeira que todos temos como sobrenome, deixámos ter os nossos, portanto, o meu já não é Freire, é Alexandra Freire Amplos, porque, de facto, somos uma família que estamos cá uns para os outros e ninguém deixa a mão de ninguém, ninguém deixa ninguém para trás e estamos cá. E agora, assim, houve um passo importante que eu já estava a esquecer, eu peço desculpa, houve um passo importante que foi a Lei 38 de 2018, que foi de facto um passo importante, foi pelo motivo pela minha filha aos 14 anos ter podido alterar o nome dela na escola. No entanto, falta mais, há ainda muito mais para fazer, e acho que aqui é o local certo para nós pedirmos, por favor, a quem tem esse poder, que reveja alguns aspectos e que façamos mais para que os nossos filhos possam ser eles próprios onde quer que vão. Eu penso que disse tudo. Obrigada.
Obrigada, Alexandra. Nós tínhamos programado esta sessão com um bom exemplo. Pensámos que aqui pessoas de cerca de 14 países europeus, podíamos dar outros bons exemplos, mas por que não Portugal, já que estamos aqui. E que foi aqui que, de facto, as leis foram aprovadas, a última lei tão importante. E claro que há ainda coisas por fazer, como, por exemplo, a lei que define a situação das crianças na escola. Há apenas um despacho que ainda não tem a força de uma lei, e obviamente todas as questões relacionadas com a saúde, que nós várias vezes trouxemos aqui, várias vezes insistimos, ainda estão muito por resolver. Mas trouxemos aqui exemplos de três países difíceis. Eu vou pedir às mães que se apresentem, vou pedir à Ruta da Lituânia que fale, que diga o seu nome, porque os nomes são um bocadinho difíceis de pronunciar, portanto eu prefiro que elas próprias digam os seus nomes. Portanto, vai falar a Ruta. Eu há pouco esqueci-me que tenho aqui ao meu lado a Malgorzata da Polónia, que também vai falar, e outra mãe que está ali ao fim também vai falar.
Thank you, Margarida. Hello everyone. I am Ruta Trumpickienė from Lithuania, and it's a big honor for me to be here with all of you in Parliament in Lisbon, in Portugal. It's my first time, so many first times for me these days, and I'm very excited and anxious, and even though I was very afraid to speak here, but at the same time, it's a great opportunity for me to be here for my child, for my son. His name is Ray, he's 14, and I'm here in this conference because I'm a big expert of transgender people situation, don't know on the nuances, but I'm expert of mother being a child who wants to live a happy life and who wants to be himself and not to be afraid of anything as any other teenager. At the same time, the situation in Lithuania concerning transgender people is still very difficult, and even though we have some laws for the adults, but if we speak about the minors, about the children and teenagers, it's like zero, yes, and still the Lithuanian society is quite homophobic, and as far as I understood, maybe people are not always very against or hostile. It's just they don't know. They didn't meet any transgender people in their lives. I think they met, but they didn't know. Yes, they didn't realize. As me, my son came out for me like 1 year ago. He was 13 then, and I was completely lost. I can say like very not hiding that, because I didn't know any transgender person in my life, or even if I knew, I didn't realize it was like that. And I was lost, and I don't remember quite many words what I told him. I just knew that it was crucial for him, it was very important, and he was very afraid, and he told that, I know that you always wanted to have a girl, and you know, maybe I'm upsetting you. And this year it was quite challenging for me, and I have a hope that joining the parents of transgender children, and now I'm a member of the organization that's called Mothers for LGBTQ plus Children, and we have meetings and we support each other, and we do some steps for the situation to change. And I'm trying to show my child that it's worth living, because we have he has some struggles, and that it's worth living in Lithuania. Because for now, what he can do is just to wait till he is 18, and there is no possibility to change the name or to have any therapy. And there are, as I told, almost no laws to help children in that situation. But I'm here because I wanted to change, and I wanted to be another way. So in fact, as Alexander told, that we also did some steps forward, and we came out at school. That's not very ordinary, because I know a couple of friends of my son that are also trans, and they, even though didn't speak to their parents because they are afraid that the parents wouldn't accept them, and just before conference, I met some of them, and I said, okay, I'm going to Lisbon to such a conference. Could you please tell me, how are you, and what do you want, and what are your concerns? And they were looking at me with these big eyes and said, oh, some adult talking to us about this, because two of them haven't talked with the adult person at all about this, about their feelings and their situations. And they started to cry and to talk, and I'm want so much to do something for these children and for my boy. The first thing and the most important, of course, it's very very similar. It's all that we just want to let people us in peace, so we can be who we are, and that we don't have to hide, yes, and we don't have to be afraid, and nobody would point into us, or we don't want to, as my son says, that he's afraid that maybe somebody will insult him, or he'll be beaten, yes, or when we are going like a supermarket, and he needs to go to the bathroom, and he doesn't want to go to the girls' bathroom. Yes, he wants to go to the boys', but at the same time, he's shaking because he's afraid that somebody will see and say, oh, you are not a boy, go there. But at the same time, I don't know where he finds this courage, but he like, okay, and he goes, and then we leaves with a smile that he did it, yes, and he does a lot, and as you, Alexandra, I'm so proud of him, and I'm learning from him how to not be afraid and to be brave, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So the first thing, as I told, that for these children, it's important to be themselves and to survive till they can get more help, or situation would change, and we have a lot to do. So for now, it's probably clear for everybody that in Lithuania we need to educate children from the early age, yes, about the gender diversities, and that there are different situations, so they would be more acceptable, and those queer children wouldn't meet some hostility or some bad behavior towards them. At the same time, it's really difficult because Lithuania is a very conservative country, and there is a law that forbids to talk in school or educational some places about the LGBT issues. Yes, and it's like binary system is the only one, and don't touch this subject. It's forbidden, and it's quite a big battle about it. And also we need this support system for the parents of trans children and for the children, but we lack of professionals like psychotherapists or doctors who are experts in this issue. So it's also about the educating the those people who are professionals that could work in this field. And I would love more parents to join into our organization and to do something for their children. And I know that there are thousands of them out there somewhere, but we still think how to reach them. And of course, we have to do a lot to ensure some the social services and medical services and appropriate environment for these children to live, to be happy, to reach their goals. And me as a mother, I'll do my best as I can, and I want to thank for the invitation to the conference, and it was very important for me to meet all the people here and to share the ideas, and I hope we will keep in touch and share the information and support each other, and good luck for all of us and for our children. Thank you.
Okay, so in my introductory words, I said that it was a honor to have His Excellency, the President of the Parliament, with us, and it is a historical moment. So I repeat this now, to be able to present the manifesto of parents of trans and gender diverse children from all over Europe. And now I give the floor to Malgorzata Banacek from Poland, a mother of a trans child.
Hello, everyone. My name is Małgorzata Banaszek. Today I will be representing both the organization My Rodzice, so we, the parents, which is the organization supporting parents of LGBTQ IA community in Poland, and representing as well the allies, everyone who wants to help and participate in the network in Poland. Today is the moment to give voices to the parents, specifically of transgender and gender diverse children in Poland. And I would like to share with you our experiences. We welcome our children to the world to be, to grow, to protect them, to cherish them, and to be their unique selves. When the moment comes when we find out that our children are transgender children or are gender diverse, additionally, we are facing additional issues. First thing that is thrown at parents is obviously the enormity of different difficulties when it comes to medical care, when it comes to creating a safe environment for children at schools. And the big part of it is fear, fear for our children. In Poland, we have many legal difficulties. We do not have any laws in place or standard procedures on how to accommodate trans and gender diverse children at schools. We depend and we rely on the goodwill of the teachers, school directors, to help us to allow our children to use their proper name instead of the dead name that they don't want to use. The process of actually correcting the gender marker and changing officially the name in the birth certificates and other official documents is very complicated. It's done in Poland through the civil court proceedings whereby children are suing their parents. Those proceedings also required quite a lot of additional humiliating situations where we have to look for specific expert opinions, and we don't also have the standards of what should be required and what documents should be submitted to the court so that this change can take place. The other thing I would like to bring up today is the fear that relates as well to our political situation. We do not have appropriate laws in terms of the transphobia and homophobia that would protect our children properly. Our current governing party, with the support of the high-ranking officials from the Catholic Church in Poland, are using currently especially transgender children to raise fears against them, to utilize the lack of awareness in the society. And instead of protecting them, they are inciting the fears and they are using the hate speech in their election campaigns to dehumanize our children. And I would like to say it here loud and clear. We, the parents, will never allow that to happen. We will be always protecting our children, and we will be networking with everyone in Europe. And we hope that we change the pace, and there will be a day when we will have in Europe standard legal regulations and the support to create the safe environment for all transgender and gender diverse children in Europe. Thank you.
Honorable President of the Parliament of Portugal, honorable representatives, honorable parents, and honorable children that we have amongst us. My child came out to be 3 years ago when he was 12. Since then, I always worked in the area of child rights, human rights, protecting the most needy. Until then, I had worked with children with disabilities, children in migration, children in the justice system, children staying in orphanages. I never have thought I would be one of these subjects. And even if I'm a psychologist, and even if I studied and worked as a child rights activist, child rights professional for years and years in many countries, I became a parent, and then I started seeing things from a different vision, different perspective. Yesterday, for the first time, I cried. I cried not because I feel sad for my child. I cried because we're together. I cried. We're not only together as people from my country, but we are together from Iceland to Malta, from Portugal to Turkey, which is my country, as parents, as one heart, as one big family. I'm hearing from every parent I'm talking with. I heard from the parents whose documentary we watched yesterday. The same words as I'm hearing in my own country. There is a rise globally, unfortunately. In US, look at the law in Texas that's passed, the directive actually, sorry, that says parents who are giving affirmative care for their children can be punished because they're doing child abuse. My friend from Poland is saying the trans and LGBTI community are used as a soft spot to create fear, bring people together for political parties to win. The same thing is happening in countless other countries, including my country, and it's contagious. It is our request, it's our demand, it's our plea to you to take our voices to the European level. To bring our voices that our children are neither wrong, are neither alone. Yes, we want to say to everyone that we will not let our children to suffer, but we are not that strong. We are parents after all, and we are part of the society. We are part of the society that either allows us to breathe or allows us to be ourselves, or kills us, our children. Last week, just after the Europride that took place in Serbia, there was a big march that happened in Istanbul. It was anti-LGBTI movement. Our children were targeted. Fear was created. Fear for what? Fear against whom? Fear against families that love their children? Fear against people who want to be themselves? Can you prevent a rainbow after the rain? No, you cannot shoot a rainbow. You cannot prevent a tree from blooming. You can cut the tree. But if you allow the tree will always bloom. Our children can shine, can be wonderful members of society. They pay their taxes, they vote, they become members of the parliament, they become doctors, they become nurses, they become your grocery store person, they become your lawyers, they become your cleaners, they become you, they become us. When can we stop alienating them? And yesterday, as I said, I cried because I'm happy. I cried because I feel strong. I cried because together with your support, with the support from all of us, our voices can be heard loud and clear. Let's change the pace. Let's change the mentality. Let's reach out to people who don't think like us. We are here. You're here because you believe. But there are many other people who don't believe in this. They think it's religion. I'm from a different religion. You're from a different religion. There are people, crazy people, I'm very sorry to say, in every religion, in every ethnicity, in every nationality. But we as humans, we are good. And we need to bring the good in everyone. So thank you.
So now the historical moment of the reading of the manifesto that was made by a consortium of parents and discussed in several meetings with parents from different countries, and Luisa Grech from Malta, from the president of the organization DRACMA, will read it.
Let's change the pace. How are European trans and gender diverse children doing? This is a parents' manifesto, and it is being presented to the Lisbon Parliament today, the 23rd of September, 2022. This was done in collaboration with the European Network of Parents, together with AGEDO, AMBGIL, AMPLOS, DRACMA, and Izadi, coming from Italy, Spain, Portugal, Malta, and Serbia. An ever-increasing number of trans and gender-diverse children and youth in Europe are seeking recognition for their right to self-determination and to gender-affirming care. In recent years, there has been a paradigm shift in approaches to caring for trans youth, including healthcare and parenting practices, moving away from a reparative and pathologizing model towards an affirming approach to care. Trans kids and adolescents have better health and social outcomes when strongly supported by their parents' caregivers. And these parents and caregivers have begun to unite in associations and support groups to fight together for the rights of their children. As parents and activists for the rights of trans and gender diverse children and youth, we have witnessed how these rights are often not guaranteed and are even trampled upon. The situation in the EU is uneven. Some countries are adopting inclusive strategies faster than others, with other countries actively opposing them. We believe that the European Union and other European institutions and UN bodies must take responsibility for the consequences of this lack of regard. This often leads to social isolation, as well as school dropout, and with a high risk of severe psychological problems, including depression, anxiety, eating disorders, self-harm, and most worryingly, suicide. Supporting trans and gender diverse children early in their lives helps them in their personal development and growth as healthy adults. It can boost self-esteem and belonging. They can be themselves without restriction, criticism, or judgment. International human rights standards consider equality and non-discrimination as basic principles. Article 1 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights states, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience, and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood." Article 2 of the same declaration adds, "Everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status. This implies the right to be protected against discrimination on various grounds, including sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. And other articles in the declaration continue to reinforce these human rights. EMP, the European Network of Parents of LGBTI plus persons, is an umbrella organization for associations and informal groups of parents of LGBT persons across Europe. EMP gathers families that work towards a more inclusive society, families that recognize that every person should be treated with dignity and respect, free from any form of discrimination or oppression. EMP's project, Let's Change the Pace, How Are European Trans and Gender Diverse Children Doing?, sponsored by the Erasmus Plus program, has involved many European associations that work and advocate for the rights of trans children and youth. Representatives of these associations from Italy, Malta, Portugal, Serbia, and Spain, as partners of the project, have met with other associations from Denmark, Iceland, UK, Italy, to broaden the debate. Three webinars were held, each spread over a number of days, where people shared stories, achievements, goals, fears, doubts, hopes, as well as discussed policies aimed at the well-being of trans children. Keeping clearly in mind that all youth is the future of our society and the growth is happening today and can't be postponed to tomorrow, we have drawn up this manifesto in which together we call upon all institutions, including the European Union, the Council of Europe, and the committees and bodies of the United Nations that are involved with human rights and childhood rights, to join our efforts to influence the European nations with recommendations, campaigns, and regulations. So we ask of you, recognize the right to gender, self-determination of trans children and youth, and safeguard this right through sound legislation based on protocols recommended by international directives, guaranteeing the right of trans children and youth to change their assigned gender and their legal name given at birth without the need for medical diagnosis, surgeries, or procedures in court. Request all member states to offer gender affirmation centers throughout the territories of each country in compliance with the right to health, as also stated by the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights and the World Health Organization. Ensure that all trans and gender diverse persons seeking gender affirmation medical support are treated in trans-specific, age-appropriate environments, especially the young children. Increase the number of pediatric facilities where children may receive support. Ensure the treatments, puberty blockers and hormone replacement therapy, are prescribed respecting guidelines recommended by international directives. Timing is extremely important in regard to puberty blockers. Explore and respect the varying needs of each individual. There is no one size fits all. The specific needs for gender-affirming medical interventions should be identified on a case-by-case basis and addressed in a timely manner so that children and adolescents can live their best lives. This is recommended by the World Professional Association for Transgender Youth and the European Professional Association for Transgender Health. Ban any form of conversion therapy attempting to change an individual's gender identity, gender expression, or sexual orientation to align with heterosexual or cisgender norms. All persons should live their inner gender and sexuality freely, without condemnation or restrictions. Protect trans children and adolescents in their daily lives from all phobias, violence, hate speech, bullying, and harm through sound policies and laws by promoting gender-neutral educational and family environments and a culture of diversity and inclusion in all spheres of life. Request all member states to include gender identity, its affirmation, and its protection as part of the curricula in all educational institutions. Provide study modules and continuous professional development on the subject to all those working with young people. And schools need to include teaching materials that celebrate diversity. Promote a non-gender stereotyped vision of life. Toys and books need to move away from gender stereotypes and represent and celebrate diversity. By campaigning in favor of a less stereotyped society, society itself becomes more inclusive. Establish alliances with strategic actors, NGOs, professionals, academic institutions, community-based organizations and the media that provide vital services and support and engage in bridge building and dialogue with public institutions to get these on board, as this is necessary to create synergies and enhance outcomes with visible and positive impacts. Unite efforts to positively influence other countries' governments. With the support of the European Commission, the Council of Europe, and the United Nations human rights bodies. And if this fails, support the imposition of sanctions, bearing in mind that the European countries are part of the whole European environment that should enable freedom, diversity, inclusiveness as fundamental pillars of every citizen's growth pathway. And last but not least, definitely, ensure that all states have the necessary legislation to recognize and safeguard trans and gender diverse children and youth, while further ensuring that the law is implemented and supported by sanctions and timely enforcement. As parents organizing NGOs, we will make our voices heard and disseminate knowledge, support families in their journey, share our experiences so that society can learn from our stories, that will be updated with new facts about life in different social, cultural, religious, and political contexts. Collaborate with other national and international NGOs to put pressure where needed. Build bridges and set up communication channels with decision makers at all levels of power. Ask for support, financial and otherwise, to continue to provide vital services and support to individuals facing challenges with which we can empathize. NGOs have a more substantial ground level impact. So we call upon you all, policymakers and important stakeholders, to put forward bold actions that can play a key role in transforming the lives of trans children and youth in Europe. Together, we will seek to grow. So let's coordinate large-scale action across multiple sectors by mobilizing key stakeholders, parents' organizations, and activists. Let us seek to nourish, with real testimonials, latest research, and data, to feed the ever new solutions needed in each country and context. And we should also seek to reward the best practices to celebrate these countries' pathways, showing the positive impact on the well-being of trans children and youth. It is with the utmost urgency that we send a strong message to have clear and sound legislation in all EU countries. Let's change the pace.
Vamos mudar o rumo.
Cambiamo il ritmo. mínimo tempo. Haydi hızlanalım.
Thank you.
So first of all, let me welcome all of you. It's very important for us to listen to your concerns, to take into consideration your proposals. And as you understand, being the Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament and speaking in the Portuguese Parliament, I must speak in Portuguese, which is, by the way, a very beautiful language and the mother tongue of more than 260 million people in four continents. So please take your headphones because I will shift to Portuguese. Hoje de manhã, no Parlamento Português, nós comemoramos os 200 anos da nossa primeira Constituição. A primeira Constituição elaborada por uma Assembleia de Deputados eleitos em eleições gerais. Essa Constituição começa com o regime de liberdades e direitos pessoais. É uma das primeiras Constituições da Europa que começa exatamente por definir as liberdades e os direitos pessoais, os quais, nestes 200 anos, têm progredido muito. O que nós hoje consideramos serem os direitos humanos integra essas liberdades e direitos pessoais do primeiro liberalismo, mas vai muito mais longe. Mas o sentido é o mesmo. Em qualquer caso, trata-se de preservar a nossa liberdade, de compreender que somos iguais perante a lei, que somos iguais em dignidade, que não devemos infligir sofrimento uns aos outros, que devemos respeitar a autonomia de cada um e cada uma de nós, devemos respeitar a diversidade, que é a coisa mais natural do mundo, e que mesmo assim, diversos e diversas, diferentes uns e umas dos outros e das outras, somos iguais. Somos seres humanos, todos nós titulares de direitos. Eu digo isto porque nós estamos sempre a enfrentar novas questões e muitas delas são questões difíceis. Difíceis pela sua novidade, porque desafiam os nossos preconceitos ou as tradições em que fomos formados, ou difíceis pela sua própria complexidade, porque não têm respostas simples. Mas a melhor maneira de compreender as questões complexas que enfrentamos como pessoas e como coletividades é exatamente abordá-las da perspectiva dos direitos humanos. Fazer tudo o que esteja em nosso poder para respeitar e realizar os direitos humanos e não fazer nada possa prejudicar os direitos uns e umas das outras. E por isso, lembrei-me que hoje, que é o dia em que comemoramos os 200 anos da nossa primeira Declaração de Direitos Humanos em Portugal, essa era uma boa perspectiva para considerar esta questão específica que a rede está tratando. Mas há uma segunda razão. A Constituição Portuguesa de 1822 tem uma definição de liberdade num dos primeiros artigos da Constituição. E é uma definição de liberdade muito interessante, uma das mais bonitas, aliás, que eu conheço, porque diz mais ou menos isto: a liberdade é a faculdade de cada pessoa não ser obrigado a fazer nada que a lei não mande, nem a ser impedido de fazer tudo o que a lei não proíba. É uma definição interessante de liberdade. Liberdade é fazer o que quero, ser como quero ser, a não ser que a lei me estabeleça um limite. O único limite da minha liberdade e da liberdade de nós todos é a lei. Mas isso coloca uma questão, é que é uma relação dialética, isto é, não só eu tenho que respeitar a lei para ser livre, como a lei tem que ir mudando para acomodar a minha liberdade. E por isso é que eu não hesitei quando a presidente da rede me propôs que esta reunião tivesse lugar também numa instalação do Parlamento Português e que eu próprio participasse na sessão final de apresentação do manifesto da rede. Porquê? Porque justamente o Parlamento, para além de ser a Casa das Liberdades, é a Casa dos Legisladores. E por isso é muito importante que aqueles que fazem a lei percebam como é que a lei tem que ir mudando e como é que as práticas sociais têm que ir mudando para que os direitos humanos de todos sejam respeitados. A nossa lei, a lei portuguesa, que garante a autodeterminação da identidade de género, é uma lei relativamente recente, foi aprovada em 2018. Há neste momento, aliás, projetos de lei que estão a ser trabalhados no Parlamento Português e que procuram não só aperfeiçoar a lei em vigor, como endereçar outras questões relativas aos direitos das pessoas e à necessidade de ninguém ser discriminado em função da sua identidade de género ou da sua orientação sexual. E por isso é muito importante para nós ouvirmos a sociedade civil, ouvirmos as organizações não-governamentais, ouvirmos os interessados e as interessadas para que o nosso trabalho como legisladores seja o melhor possível. Por isso, agradeço o manifesto que me foi entregue e que agora farei circular pelas deputadas e os deputados do Parlamento Português, ciente de que esse manifesto, a vossa experiência, as vossas propostas enriquecerão o trabalho das senhoras e dos senhores deputados. Muito obrigado.
Encerrada então a sessão.